From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Trusting in the word of life given in baptism, we are gathered in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is light.
And in him there is no darkness at all.
If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Today we hear our Lord's call to believe and follow.
Dedicate our lives to holiness.
Come, O God, so that we can hear you calling our names. We join in the prayer of the day for this, the second Sunday after Epiphany. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, most merciful Redeemer, for the countless blessings and benefits you give. May we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more dearly, day by day, praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our children's time is led by Jenny Medlin.
Good morning. How are you all this morning? Good. What did you see when you woke up this morning?
Snow.
There is snow on the ground. Isn't it beautiful? Do you all enjoy playing in the snow? Yes. Let me ask, did you hear it snowing last night?
No.
No? It's kind of hard to hear snow fall from the sky, isn't it? How about rain? Did you ever hear it rain? Yeah. What's it sound like when it rains? You rub your hands together. Does it maybe sound like a rain? Yeah. Yeah. What about the wind? Can you ever hear the wind? Sometimes if it gusts, what's the wind sound like? Does it sound like that sometimes? Yeah. What about God? Have you ever heard God?
No.
No, it's sometimes hard to hear God because he doesn't necessarily speak to us like I'm speaking to you. But let me ask you this. Have you ever seen somebody do sign language? Yeah? What is that? Anybody know what I'm doing here?
No.
The sign language, the alphabet in sign language. Could you hear that? You couldn't hear it, but you could see it, right? God works similar to that. He has the Holy Spirit, and we have it within us. We can't always hear it, but he's constantly speaking to us, and there's always signs out there for us to see, and for there's these feelings that you might get that God's saying, yeah, that's the right thing. Go do it. You can do it. Because he's always there with us, and he's always talking. So remember, while you may not be able to hear him, like when you hear your parents say, go do your chores, God can't speak quite like that. He's always talking to you, all right? And he's always here for us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, please open our senses to hear how you may communicate to us in all ways. Thank you for always being here with us and for helping us get through our day today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem, Just For You, is done by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. Testament lesson is read by Mary Berger, followed by our gospel reading and his sermon, When God Almighty Speaks, Listen, by Pastor Gene Mall.
Our first reading this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. And this has to do with the Lord speaking to Samuel. Samuel served the Lord by helping Eli the priest, who was by this time almost blind. In those days, the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and he did not appear to them in dreams very often. But one night, Eli was asleep in his room, and Samuel was sleeping on a mat near the sacred chest in the Lord's house. They had not been asleep very long when the Lord called out Samuel's name. "Here I am," Samuel answered. Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" "I didn't call you," Eli answered. "Go back to bed." Samuel went back. Again, the Lord called out Samuel's name. Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "What do you want?" Eli told him, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." The Lord had not spoken to Samuel before, and Samuel did not recognize the voice. When the Lord called out his name for the third time, Samuel went to Eli again and said, "Here I am. What do you want?" Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel. So he said, "Go back and lie down. If someone speaks to you again, answer, 'I am listening, Lord. What do you want me to do?'" Once again, Samuel went back and lay down. The Lord then stood beside Samuel and called out as he had done before, "Samuel, Samuel." "I'm listening," Samuel answered. "What do you want me to do?" The Lord said, "Samuel, I am going to do something in Israel that will shock everyone who hears about it. I will punish Eli and his family, just as I promised. He knew that his sons refused to respect me, and he let them get away with it, even though I said I would punish his family forever. I warned Eli that sacrifices or offerings could never make things right. His family had done too many disgusting things." The next morning, Samuel got up and opened the door to the Lord's house. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said. But Eli told him, "Samuel, my boy, come here." "Here I am," Samuel answered. Eli said, "What did God say to you? Tell me everything. I pray that God will punish you terribly if you don't tell me every word he said." Samuel told Eli everything. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord, and he will do what's right." As Samuel grew up, the Lord helped him and made everything Samuel said come true. From the town of Dan in the north to the town of Beersheba in the south, everyone in the country knew that Samuel was truly the Lord's prophet.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Peter found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But Philip said to him, "Come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Well, dear friends in Christ, in my college days, and one of the extra jobs that I did along the way was that I was a dispatcher in the police department of the city where our college was located up in northern Iowa. And I would sometimes draw the quiet night shift from midnight to 6. And we had one sergeant there, Sergeant Wickham. We knew him as 230 because 230 matched his weight. He wasn't a very tall guy, but he carried his weight. And he usually sat there in the chair and looked at me during the middle of the night, and he'd have a cigarette in his mouth and his ashes would fall in his shirt. We always kidded. We said he didn't go home to change shirts. He went home to change ashes. And he knew that I was thinking about the possibility, I hadn't quite committed yet, of going to seminary. And he would say to me, with a twinkle in his eye, "Preacher, just when did you see the light? Just when did you see the light?" And he even would write little notes in my book, "Preacher, when did you see the light?" And I would come across them in my study. This was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I saw no neon signs flashing in the sky. And I don't think I ever did answer that question for him. The readings today are about God's call and asking, you know, when we did see the light and to hear him. And here we see God's call much more down to earth. The divine reaches down into human history, into our place on earth, into the here and now. But he also asks the question, when the call comes, do we listen? Do we listen? That first reading reminds us to listen to the call. Sometimes we may be on the wrong frequency, or there might be too much static, or we give up listening, or we're so busy we do not listen. No time for that. And we realize that to listen, we need to hear God's call. And we're thankful that Samuel listened several times in that reading. Samuel was young. Mother Hannah so wished for a child that when Samuel was born, she dedicated him to the Lord and allowed him to go live with priest Eli and had worked for him. I suppose in some ways he was like an acolyte. He knew some of the things. He opened the door in the morning, apparently. He knew how to light the candles. But there was more to learn. And certainly he was not familiar with the voice of the Lord. And even in this age of prophets, it says the word of the Lord was rare. There was silence. You know, we have periods of time in the Old Testament where God sort of had silence in a way. This was even before the time of the judges and the kings. And this was a time there were few messages from God, not like the time of Moses and Aaron and Joshua. Perhaps it was because during this time, even the priests were known as to be less than holy. Eli was good enough, but the scripture says that even his sons were rather scoundrels in their own way. But in this time, Samuel was dedicated to the Lord by Mother Hannah. And he lies down at night and he hears this voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And of course, he runs to Eli.
Eli probably needs something. Did you hear me? Here I am. I did not call you. I'd go back to bed. And it happened a second time. Go back to bed. And a third time. And this time Eli perceived, maybe the Lord is calling. So just say, you know, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So it happened again. And Samuel reared up in bed and he said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The message that came was not very pleasant. The house of Eli would fall, much because of the evil way of his sons and the fact that he would not stop them from what they were doing. The thing we note here is that Samuel did listen to the Lord, and he responded to this call. And in his future, he became a very trustworthy servant and prophet of the Lord, even the one who would anoint King David later on. See, listening is really quite important. For example, there at one time was a room filled at a business of people waiting for a job. And the person doing the interviews on the other side of the wall, there was a window there, used a very unique way of checking the attention and listening and hearing. The job involved using the Morse code. And so this person tapped. I can't do it. Brian, some of you might know Morse code. And he tapped out the words, the first one to hear the tapping on the window, come in and get the job. One person understood clearly, opened the door and went in and got the job. Or we can think of another example that some of you can identify with that involves the Field of Dreams, that 1989 movie up there in an Iowa cornfield. I expect that some of you here have been there. I've been there several times. Even had the privilege once of pitching from the mound and hitting a few balls out in the field. Sort of fun. And there was one time I went through there, and I'll talk about that in a little bit here. And anyhow, Kevin Costner hears a strange voice whispering, if you build it, he will come. If you build it, he will come. And he sees a glimpse of a baseball field. And for whatever reason, he trusts that vision. And he digs up part of his cornfield. And he builds this ball field. And he looked out at the field and he wondered. Maybe the neighbors were right. Maybe he really had lost his mind. But then one day, Ray and his daughter looked out. And they see Shoeless Joe Jackson come out of the corn. And that was one of his favorite players. And then other baseball legends would come out as well. And they enjoyed playing baseball. And it was amazing what a little listening and a little faith could do here. One of the times when I came past the Field of Dreams, it was the day of the month where they reenacted the players coming out of the cornfield. And sure enough, when that magic hour came, out they came. And they started tossing the ball around and doing this and that. And then they played ball with the little kids who were there that day. Samuel listened, and God spoke. And Samuel became a mighty servant of God. So he not only needed to hear the call, but he needed to accept it. Hearing is not necessarily accepting and believing. You know, the gospel has a calling of some disciples, Philip and Nathanael. Philip was quick. Follow me, and Philip trotted after Jesus, is the way it says here. But Nathanael was much more skeptical. And Philip comes to him and says, we have found the Messiah, the one Moses and the prophet talked about, this Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael just responds, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, come and see. You know, I guess we're all different kinds of people. And we think in different ways or listen in different ways. You know, sometimes well, I have to think, having two services on a Sunday morning just sort of pushes me a little from the morning. But I get some of the important things done, and I did read some of the comics this morning before I left. And I can remember, is it Mutz, where they have two dogs are out there in the snow. I'm thinking of the snow this morning. And two snowflakes falling said, did you ever notice that two dogs never look alike? See, well, two people are never alike either. We look at around here and we're not all alike. And we probably won't all react the same way. But Jesus then comes and reaching and prodding, comes to Nathanael before he accepts, before he opens up his life to the grace of God. And Jesus says, comes to him. And Nathanael simply says, how did you get to know me? And Jesus says, well, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. You did. Then, Rabbi, you must be the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. See, it's only in accepting this reaching of God to us that our Lord becomes real in our lives. There is a children's book that probably a lot of you have come across by Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. I do not like green eggs and ham, Sam, I am. Well, just try them. No, I don't like them. And then he tried them. Well, Sam, I am loves green eggs and ham. See, Nathanael had to try his green eggs and ham. He had to try Jesus. And then he knew, you are the Son of God. This was not just the come and see place where Jesus lived, but now he found that Jesus became a part of his life, made a home with him as well, shared his presence, reached to him with his grace and forgiveness, and helped him to find a newness of life again. You know, when we look at Nathanael then, whatever his prior occupation, he left and followed Jesus. Whatever his reservations prior, he left and followed Jesus. Whatever his prior commitments, he left and followed Jesus. I believe that we see here with Samuel and Nathanael that God often initiates the action in our lives. It's like that old I choose you poster that we used to see. Jesus simply says, I've called you by name, you are mine. And as we have said for Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare, was an infrequent vision in those days. The description may be about the days of Samuel, but could it not also describe our time as well? With all of the busyness of life today, with all of its visual effects and distractions, we barely are able to hear or see anything. And like Samuel, we lie in bed not sure what we're hearing. Like Eli, our sight grows dim. For Nathanael, Jesus sees more in Nathanael than what Nathanael saw in himself. And Jesus looks at him with love and wins him over. That love claims it does strange things to us and makes us see that we no longer are simply our own. We belong to someone else. And in the love, our Lord has reached to each one of us and says, I have called you, 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 by name, and you are mine. Perhaps we need more fig trees in life like Nathanael sat under. On the one hand, we might look at Nathanael and say, well, he was just a lazy bum sitting under the tree. But maybe it was more than that. Maybe we need to have a place in life to think, to contemplate, a time of quietness that we can hear that still small voice of God speaking to us. That we could slip to some quiet place on the farm or in the yard or down in the park or by a stream. Find a place to think and contemplate. There was a person who said she was abused as a child and she would have to get away. And she found solace by going out in the middle of the cornfield where nobody could see her. Just she and her God. And later in life, she lived where there were no cornfields and she said, I still miss my field. I have to admit that I have even written a sermon one time listening to the bubbling water going over the quiet rocks outside of Alley Spring in the Ozark River ways there by the Red Mill. Some of you may have been there. And in the quiet of our mind, God speaks to us in new and refreshing ways. Well, just be assured, God does not give up easily on us. So we ask, when the call comes, do we listen? May we hear God's call. May we accept God's call. When God Almighty speaks, listen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.